done?
Probably. Push that button.
Okay.
Yes?
Okay, good.
Well, it's so good to be with you here in Jordan. I was here 5 years ago and so happy to come again. I'm so sorry, I can't speak Arabic. It's not one of my talents. But we'll be here for the next 3 days, so we'll have some good classes. I'm so glad to be here. Now, I was asked to speak about the hard questions of Christianity. And of course, the technology is not working right now. I wonder why. It's not working. Oh, there we go. I think a jinn entered my computer program. Yes. You're not going to translate that, though. That's okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, you know, I've traveled all around the world. And I have a website where I answer thousands of questions about Christianity. Most of the questions that people ask, I think, are answered quite easily. People say the Bible is corrupt. But if you look at the evidence, there's no evidence of corruption. None. People say, oh, the Bible is just full of fables and stories, and you can't rely on the history. My answer to that is, there are no historical errors in the Bible at all. The Bible is the most accurate history book of the ancient world by far. People say, oh, the Bible has so many contradictions. How could you really even interpret it? To that I say, what contradictions? The Bible, properly understood, has no contradictions at all. It's perfect. People say, no scientist could take the Bible seriously because the Bible is full of science errors. Well, I have a doctorate in chemical physics and I see no science errors. But honestly, there are some hard questions. Questions like the Trinity. How do you explain that? How do you explain if God is loving and powerful that there's suffering and evil in the world? And if Christianity is a religion of peace, then how do you explain all the warfare in the Old Testament? All of the hard questions are theology. It's about the nature of God. Now, that's a lot of questions to cover. So I only introduced how to think about these things. Some people say, here's how I respond. Just have to have faith. Just trust the Bible. That's not a good enough answer. People need to have explanations. So we have to think, what is the Christian understanding of reality? In tonight's lesson is not so much Bible study. We'll look at a few scriptures. But tonight we're going to ask, how does the Bible explain God? What is the Christian understanding of the world? Well, Christianity proposes that the physical world is real. It was created by God. And it's good. Hinduism and Buddhism have a different view of that. They say physical things are an illusion. And they say the universe was not created. The problem with that is the universe was created. Which means Hinduism and Buddhism, they're not true. And the Bible says that there's a spiritual reality and a physical reality. And the Bible explains the nature of evil. We'll talk about that. If God is good, why is there evil? That's a tough question. Now, I don't have time to explain the Christian worldview. Let me talk just briefly about the Trinity. In discussions with our Muslim friends, that's a hard question to talk about, isn't it? They tell us that we're polytheists. Let me tell you how I would explain the idea of the Trinity. Now, first of all, let's admit it. The idea is not logical. Let me read John chapter 1, verse 1. You just read it in Arabic, it'll be okay. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1.
Okay, verse 1 I read it. Then 14. والكلمة صارت جسدا صار جسدا وحل بيننا ورأينا مجده مجدا كما لوحيد من الآب مملوءا نعمة وحقا.
Now really, that's strange.
هذا غريب شوي.
In the beginning was the Word.
في البداية كان الكلمة.
The Word was with God.
والكلمة كانت مع الله.
And the Word was God. All right, in the beginning, you know, I was Sammy, and I was with Sammy. That doesn't make sense. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says the gospel is... doesn't make sense to the philosophers. So Jesus is with God, and He is God. How do I explain that? I don't explain it. It's a mystery. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's read that. Verse, you already read verse 14?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay, great. It says, the Word became flesh. This idea of God becoming flesh, I can't explain it. But it's a wonderful thing. Because God wants to have a relationship with us. Some people say it's a scandal that God goes to the bathroom. Right? But I say, it's the most beautiful thing. Because God came. All other religions, God is distant and unknowable. But in Christianity, God came near. It says in verse 18 that God lived among us. We beheld His glory. The glory of the one and only Son of God. How do I know that Jesus is God? Because He said He was God. And He walked on water. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. He fulfilled the prophecies. And He said He was God. I don't need to explain it. It's the most wonderful fact. That God, the creator of the universe, became flesh and lived among us. We beheld His glory. What is the Trinity about? It's about a relationship. It's about the fact that God wanted us to know Him. So He came. We beheld His glory. The glory of the one and only Son. I'd be honest with you. I can't explain it to you. But I proclaim it to you. And Jesus was raised from the dead. That's enough for me. Now, what about the question of evil? How do we explain evil? If God is good, and if everything God created is good, which is what the Bible says, in Genesis 1:38 it says, it was all good. If God is powerful, and God is good, why is there evil? Did you ever think about that? Doesn't that bother you sometimes? Now that's a good question. But I believe Christianity offers the only correct explanation to why there is evil. See, Hinduism says evil is not real. That it's an illusion. But I see a woman raped and I say, no, evil is real. And Buddhism says evil is not real. Atheism says there's no moral truth. It's all just random. There's no right, there's no wrong. Islam says kismet. Kismet. Inshallah. Yes. That it's just God's will. So evil is God's will? That doesn't satisfy me. So how does Christianity explain the existence of evil? You know why there's evil according to the Bible?
حسب رأي الكلمة الكتاب.
It's because God loved us.
لأنه الله يحبنا.
The first time I hear that, that's a little confusing.
أول مرة سمعت هذا الشيء لخمني شوي.
According to the Bible, why do we exist?
بالنسبة للكتاب ليش إحنا أصلاً موجودين؟
Because God is love.
لأن الله محبة.
The only reason we exist
السبب الوحيد لوجودنا
is because God wanted to love us.
لأن الله يريد أن يحبنا.
He wanted us to love Him.
بده إيانا نحبه.
And He wanted us to love one another.
ويريد أن نحب بعضنا بعضا.
That's the only reason you exist.
هذا هو السبب الوحيد لوجودنا على الأرض.
But love gives a choice.
ولكن الحب المحبة لها اختيار.
You know, there were two trees in the garden, yes? The tree of life. That's a good tree. But then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why was that there? Was God trying to tempt us? No, the Bible says God never tempts us. But God gave us a choice. And it has to be a real choice. It's not like a choice, I give you a million dinars, or I punch you. That's no choice. Here was the choice. Accept what I give to you, or seek extra knowledge. Knowledge that God doesn't want you to have. Things that God does not want you to have. What was the sin of Adam and Eve? They said, what God wants to give us, it's not enough. We want more. We don't believe God has our best interest in mind. So they saw extra knowledge. And they hungered for it. And they ate from the tree. And they sinned. And they lost their relationship with God. And evil came into the world. God gives a choice. In Deuteronomy 30, God says, I put before you today death and life. Curses and blessings. And God begs us. He says, choose life. God doesn't send anybody to hell. God gives us a choice. The Christian explanation is the only correct one. Why is there evil? Because God loved us enough to give a choice. Can you make somebody love you? Can you force someone to love you? That's why the tree was in the garden. Why is there evil? Because we rebelled against God. Everything God created is good. Everything in the universe obeys God. Except us. Why? Because He loves us. Love gives a choice. At first, when you hear the question of evil, it's a hard question. But Christianity offers the only answer to that question. I really love the story of the prodigal son. Because God gave the son a choice. Did he want his son to leave? No. So why did he let his son leave? Because he loved his son. As parents, we understand that. God took a big risk when he created us. Really, when we become parents, it's a great risk. When we choose to become parents. Because if our children reject us and turn to evil, it causes great anguish. But the father does not chase after his son. God will not chase after you. Jesus didn't chase after disciples. He says, come to me, so you might have life. But God does not force us. That's why there's evil in the world. And I don't have time to discuss all the alternative explanations. I don't have time to discuss.
But
every other religion offers an explanation of evil that doesn't work. Because if you believe in fate, if you believe inshallah, that means God is the cause of evil. But that's not true. All right, our third question. We're going fast. We're on our third question already.
Okay.
Yeah, but you translate that. What about suffering? Now I'm going to ask you two questions. And I'm going to trick you. So be careful how you answer this question. Do you believe that God is powerful? That he's all powerful. That he could do whatever he wants. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you sure? Okay. Now, do you believe that God is loving? Not just that he's loving, but that God defines love. Do you believe that? Then I say the God you believe in can't be real. Because think of it. Think about genocide. Think about a baby who's born deformed and suffers greatly. Think about a typhoon. Tens of thousands die. Now, how do you explain this? Is it because God can't prevent that? Or is it because he doesn't care? If you consider the suffering in the world, is it because God doesn't care? Because he doesn't have compassion? Or is it because he's powerless to prevent it? That's a hard question. Surely you've thought of this question. I hope so. Let me tell you this. There's no easy answer. The person who says, oh, that's an easy question. I don't believe that person. You know, it's really a hard question. So why does somebody get cancer? Why doesn't God prevent cancer? Why does God allow child abuse? Why does God allow diseases and things like that? Is it because he's not powerful enough or because he doesn't love enough? It's a hard question. But I believe Christianity offers the only correct answer to that question. So let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, the reason there's suffering, in some ways it's similar to the reason that there's evil. Most suffering is because of sin. Greed. Lust. Selfishness. Anger. Sexual sin. On Judgment Day, are you going to blame God for that? You say, well, God should prevent that. But God loves us too much. I say God is so powerful. And God is so loving that he created us. And he gave us a choice. That's more powerful than creating a machine. It takes more power to make a human being than a dog. Yes. Dogs always obey God. Cats even always obey God. They may not obey you, but they always obey God. So most suffering is because of sin. Now let's read Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. Yeah, Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6.
أوكي لا تسجد لهن ولا تعبدهن لأني أنا الرب إلهك إله خيور أفتقد ذنوب الآباء في الأبناء في الجيل الثالث والرابع من مبغضية وأصنع إحسانا إلى ألوف من محبية وحافظي وصايا.
So the Bible says here
الكتاب يقول
that when we sin we bring suffering into the world. Even down to the third and fourth generation. Now, that's confusing to me. Because in Ezekiel 18 it says, the father does not bear the guilt of the son, and the son does not bear the guilt of the father. It says, the one who sins is the one who will die. So it says that in Ezekiel 18. But here in Exodus 20, it says the son bears the sin of the father. That seems confusing when you first hear it, doesn't it? But here's what I learned. When you find something in the Bible that seems to be a contradiction, it's not a contradiction. It's an opportunity to understand God more deeply. What's God talking about here? He's talking about the consequences in this life. There's a moral law. And you cannot avoid this law. When you sin, you bring suffering into the world. If a man abuses his wife, who suffers? The wife suffers. The husband suffers. The children suffer. And the grandchildren suffer. In fact, I would know this is true even if it wasn't in the Bible, actually. That's not what Ezekiel 18 is talking about. That's talking about eternal consequences. Eternal consequences, you only suffer for your own sin. So there is suffering in the world because we rebel against God. And we bring suffering into the world. Most suffering, don't blame it on God. If you lose your temper at your wife, are you going to blame it on God? I hope not. In some religions, they say God's will is always done. Inshallah, they say. But that's not true. God's will is not always done. God's will is not always done. Jesus prayed. Said, "Your will be done." God's will is not always done. Because He gave us a choice. And we rebelled. That's why there's suffering. Does that explain all suffering? No. What about John chapter 9? There's a man born blind. And they say, why is he born blind? Maybe his parents' sin? Maybe his own sin? Jesus says, no. Not all suffering is because of sin. Most suffering, honestly, is because of sin. But there are other causes of suffering. All right, let me ask a question for you Bible experts. What book in the Bible talks about suffering? I met Job earlier tonight. Where is he? Job. Right over there. Yeah, Job, yeah. You know what? It's interesting. Job's friends say, the reason you're suffering is because of your sin, right? Job says, I'm a righteous man. I don't deserve this suffering. Who was right? They're both wrong. You and I, we all sin. What do we deserve? Death. Praise God for Jesus, right? Praise God that Jesus took the penalty for our sin, yes? You know what's interesting? We can read Job chapter 1. We know why Job was suffering, right? It's to give glory to God. But you know, God never told Job. Some of us have had much suffering in our life. The honest truth is, you may not know why. You have to trust God. Let me tell you another reason for suffering. I would say natural causes. I remember a few years ago, there was a huge tsunami. It hit Sumatra. More than 100,000 people died. The imam said, people have not been going to the mosque. That's why the people died. I don't know about that. But so whose sin caused the tsunami? I say, no sin. Why do we have a tsunami? Well, I don't know if you take science, but there's this thing called plate tectonics. You know plate tectonics, like continents drift? Yeah. And so the pressure builds up and it releases and it causes an earthquake. An earthquake. And you say, well, if God loves us, why doesn't He prevent earthquakes? Well, I say, if you can create a better universe than God, I invite you to create a better universe. But because of plate tectonics, it's like recycling of the minerals in the earth. So the earth remains fruitful. And because of plate tectonics, we have an atmosphere. So if you want to live on a planet without plate tectonics, I invite you to move to Mars. They have no plate tectonics there. No plate tectonics on Mars. But also no life. So I say to the skeptic of God, if you can create a better universe, go for it. So why do we have tornadoes and hurricanes? If God really loved us, He would prevent these kinds of things, right? Let me tell you why we have these things. It's called weather. See, the world is round. Why is the world round? Because God created gravity. And gravity makes round planets. And our planet needs energy. So God made the sun. If you have a better plan, I invite you to have a better plan. And the energy from the sun comes to the round earth. Now, if the earth was a cylinder, then we get equal energy. Equal energy. It'd be better if planets were like a cylinder. You know, a cylinder. Like a can, you know, a cylinder.
It's better to be...
Sure.
Okay. أفضل لو تكون أسطوانية.
Yeah. But the earth is round.
لكن الأرض...
So at the equator, way too hot.
والخط الاستواء عالي.
At the poles, way too cold.
لا خط الاستواء كتير hot يعني شو اوكي وفوق كتير بارد.
So God created weather.
عشان هيك الله خلق الطقس.
And it spreads the energy around.
وهو بينشر الطاقة حوالين الأرض.
Isn't creation amazing?
وها هل مش الخليقة مدهشة؟
But we have storms and people die.
ولكن في عنا عواصف بتخلي الناس تموت.
But is death evil?
ولكن هل الموت شر؟
No.
أكيد لا.
Death, there's nothing wrong with death.
ما في شيء غلط بالموت.
Now, we humans, when somebody dies, we suffer.
إحنا لما يكون في موت إحنا منتضايق.
But God understands that death is a transition.
ولكن الله بيفهم إنه الموت هو انتقال.
A transition to something better.
هو انتقال إلى شيء أحسن.
Who said suffering is evil?
مين قال الألم والمعاناة هي شر؟
If there was no suffering,
لو ما في معاناة,
there would be no joy.
معناته ما رح يكون في فرح.
You know, really, I don't understand heaven. Because heaven is a place without suffering. But in this life, without suffering, there's no joy. Without suffering, there's no growth. And as Christians, if we suffer as God intends, we give glory to God. For you, if God had not allowed you to suffer, would you even be a Christian? Who said suffering is evil? In 1 Peter chapter 5, I think it is. Whatever, four, thank you. Without suffering, all those who seek a righteous life will suffer. So what is the Christian response to suffering? What does Hinduism say about suffering? It says it's an illusion. What does Buddhism say about suffering? It says the way to enlightenment is to ignore suffering. Who does most of the benevolent works in Hindu countries? Christians. Who does most of the benevolent work in Buddhist countries? Christians. Who does most of the benevolent work in Muslim countries? Muslims. Yes, because one of the pillars of Islam is giving alms for the poor. Yes. But in Islam, only for other Muslims. Only for other Muslims. What is the Christian response to suffering? Compassion. Suffering is not evil. Suffering doesn't disprove God at all. But the Christian response to suffering, it's compassion. And Christianity offers the only proper response to suffering. Jesus had the greatest ministry of compassion in all history. So why is there suffering? Because of sin, not because of God. And there are natural causes. And to God, the death of a human being is not a problem. But to us it is. Jesus was the most compassionate man who ever lived. Jesus wept. You know, with when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Was he sad? He wasn't sad. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Why did Jesus weep? Because of compassion. The Christian response to suffering is compassion. In James it says, this is true Christianity. To take care of the widow and the orphan. In Jeremiah 22 it says, does it make you a king to have more cedar? Says, this is what God wants you to do. To defend the cause of the poor and the needy. And to bring about justice. This is what it means to know God. Here's a quote from Julian. He's a Roman emperor. Let me explain this first. This guy was the son of Constantine. You probably heard of Constantine. He was the first emperor to embrace Christianity. But his son was rebellious. He says, no, I'm going to make Rome pagan. But he was frustrated. He said, atheism, that's what he called Christians. He called Christians atheists. Because they didn't worship all the other gods. He says, Christianity has been growing because of their loving service to strangers and for their care of the dead. He says, it's a scandal that none of these Christians are begging. And these Christians care not only for their own poor, but also for our poor. While those who are among us look in vain for help. Jesus is a ministry of compassion. So that's question number three. I have time for one more question. Maybe this is the hardest question of all. I'm not sure. Why is there all this killing going on in the Old Testament? Let's read 1 Samuel 15, verse 2 and 3. 1 Samuel 15, verses 2 and 3.
هكذا يقول رب الجنود إني قد التقطت ما عمل عماليق بإسرائيل حين وقف له في الطريق عند صعوده من مصر فالآن اذهب واضرب عماليق وحرموا كل ما له ولا تعفوا عنهم بل اقتل رجلا وامرأة طفلا ورضيعا بقرا وغنما جملا وحمارا.
That's pretty tough stuff. Some people say the God of the New Testament is loving and compassionate and kind. But the God of the Old Testament is angry and vengeful. That's not correct. But does this verse bother you? It bothers me. But sometimes people forget that God has more than one quality. God is love. His love is very deep and very intense. But God is also holy. God is perfectly holy. And God is just. We like God's love. We like God's justice when it's on our enemy. But when we commit sin, we don't like God's justice so much. But God's holiness is as real as His justice. And it's as real as His love. But this has to do with God's justice. This is tough. Not only did God kill the Amalekites, but He told the Jews to do it. That's pretty intense. So let me explain this. Just like the question of suffering, I say there's no simple answer. First of all, this bothers us because we're human beings. And to us, death is scary. But God is... To God, death is not a problem. Now, murder is evil. The Ten Commandments condemns murder. But it does not condemn righteous killing. Number two, God has a right to judge. You have no right to judge. I have no right to judge. But God has a right to judge. And if God says that's enough, then that's enough. And God said about the Amalekites, that's enough. Then there's the question of the religion of the Amalekites. God waited for a long time. During the time of Abraham, He says, no, I'm going to wait. Until their sin is complete. But here is the religion of the Amalekites. You know how they worship Baal? They came to the temple and had sex with a prostitute. That is disgusting. Do you know how they worship Chemosh? They took the babies and they threw it into the flames. Their religion was disgusting and despicable. And God has a right to judge. What about the children? Were the children in Amalek responsible? No. But what would happen to a child raised in Amalek? What chance did they have to be raised to be righteous? So God saved them. When a child dies, they go straight to heaven. Now, is this hard to accept? It's very hard to accept. He said, kill them, man, woman, and child. But God is a judge. And God's justice is unavoidable. And their religion was despicable. The situation for the children was hopeless. So God's love required this. And God's justice required this. And then there's God's plan. God had a plan. See, we sinned and we were sent out of the garden. In fact, let me summarize the whole Bible. The whole Bible right now. Number one, Genesis 1. God created everything and it was good. Genesis 2. God created us so that He could love us, so that we could love Him and love one another. Genesis 3, 4, and 5, we sinned. We lost our relationship with God. And we were sent away from the garden. Genesis 6, through Revelation 20, God is fixing the problem. Revelation 21 and 22. Yeah. God fixed the problem. We're back in the garden. But God had a plan. He chose a man. A man of faith, Abraham. And He created a people. And He gave them a land. The promised land. And it was God's plan to give them a place to live. But there were people having disgusting, despicable religion there. And God said to drive them out. Actually, they only killed a very, very small minority. And God drove them out of the land because of His plan, was to create a people, to send them prophets, to give them a law, to send the Messiah, so that we could be saved. That partially explains why they killed the Amalekites. Because it's part of God's plan to bless us. And God had a wonderful plan, a perfect plan. So it is sinful to take the life of another for selfish reasons. But God declared a righteous war in this situation. And besides, if you read the Old Testament, their warfare was very limited. They were not allowed to abuse. If they defeated them, they would make them slaves. But they were freed within one generation. They were not allowed to commit rape or any other kind of abuse. They weren't allowed to go out and raid other people. Unlike a famous religious leader who went out and raided a lot of people. Only in that one territory. So that explains why there's violence in the Old Testament. It's a hard question. But I believe that's the correct answer. Oh, there's one other question. This is another hard question. Why did God create hell?
Hell.
Again, God is a God of love, but He's a God of justice and holiness. God will not live with sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So God's love says, I want to be with you for eternity. God's holiness and God's justice says, separated for eternity. His holiness and justice says, separated for eternity. But God's love and His justice, they met at the cross. And at the cross, God's love overcame His justice. And Jesus received the penalty for your sin. So we have a choice. We can let Jesus accept the penalty for our sins. Or we can accept the penalty for our sins. God does not choose to send anybody to hell. God says, please be saved. Please obey me. Please accept my salvation. Jesus said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you in. But if we choose to go to hell, God respects us enough to accept our decision. Let me say as the last thing, let us make the right choice. God is so loving that He came here. And He lived among us. And He gave us a choice. He said, choose life. Let us come to Jesus. Because at the cross, His love overcame His justice. Thank you. Okay, questions. We have time for questions.
Sometimes we say we need answers for every question. I give you keys how to think so you can find answers. He gave us keys so you can think in the right way. I know there's a lot of questions. But you didn't find answers for it. Maybe it was not answered.
So,
I'm going to tell you, you're going to answer questions, and you're going to get an answer, but you still have a lot of questions in your mind. That's why you need to know the keys first, so you can understand the word of God, and how to explain the difficult questions and topics.
نعرف إن الله أعطانا الخيار إنه نحبه ويكون عنا علاقة معه.
But why in the Old Testament God chose a specific race or specific?
Yeah. ليش yeah. الله اختار جنس معين في العهد القديم؟
That was God's plan.
هاي كانت خطة الله.
To choose a man of faith.
إنه يختار رجل الإيمان.
Like it says in Romans chapter 4, I think it's verse 2,
it
says, Abraham believed God. and it was credited to him as righteousness. Some Christians believe in predestination. That God chooses who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Predestination. But that's not what the Bible teaches. But the Bible does preach this predestination. That God predestined that the Messiah would come. And anything related to that eventual thing, God predestined. So God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So that God's people could escape Egypt. And they could go through the water. But God doesn't change the light to turn green so you can get to work on time. Normally, God does not intervene in history. He lets evil people do evil things. But there are a few exceptions. So God intervened for Israel to escape from Egypt. Like it says in Malachi chapter 1. It says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now, God didn't really hate Esau. God loved Esau. But God chose Jacob. Because he had a plan. And the plan was to choose a man of faith through that man to create a people, a nation, to give them a law, a place, a scripture and prophets, all of that pointing toward the Messiah. Like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God says to the Jews, you're no different. He said, you are not a special people. You weren't the greatest people. He says, I chose you to glorify me. But it goes back to Abraham. Outside of Jesus? Yes, Abraham is the most important person in the Bible. Because Abraham set the example of salvation by faith. Okay. Great question.
Thank you so much for it. Thank you for all the answers. I don't have a problem. We understand that God is, he has the right to judge. Why in the hands of his people? Why in front of, he has to use people to do that? He could have chosen another way, maybe put them into sickness or get rid of them. And
I'm not sure I understand her question exactly.
Why did God choose to use the Jews to kill the Amalekites? Why he could have used the sickness or he killed them by different ways?
I think God did that so the Jews would understand the seriousness of sin. And to understand his love and his grace. I mean, God's going to send other people to hell. Which is worse, to be killed by the Jews
أيهما أصعب أسوأ إنه تقتل من قبل اليهود؟
Or to go to hell.
أو تروح للجحيم.
Going to hell is much worse. But God chooses us. And He hopes that we'll love Him. So, to be honest with you, I'm not sure I completely understand your question.
Why did God choose the Jews to kill, to get rid of the Amalekites? Okay, that's a good question. He said in the Ten Commandments, do not
kill. Right.
And he, now he told the Jews to kill.
Yeah. But if you read the Hebrew, there are two words for kill. One is kill, like kill an animal. The other one is kill, like murder. All right. So, in other words, he says, do not murder. Do not take the life of another for your own sake. Okay? And in Romans, God says the government does not bear the sword for nothing. Right? It says, obey the government, then you'll be okay. Anyway, I suppose God could have just sort of killed those people, I guess. He did that with the army of Assyria outside of the city of Jerusalem. But I can't explain everything that God did, exactly why He did it that way. But again, he said, the Jews, you need to be separate from these people. He said, don't compromise with them. Don't intermix with them. Do not intermarry with them. Drive them out. To explain the seriousness of sin. And the meaning of holiness. He says this will be a holy place. Now God could have taken those people and lifted up in the air and had them carried over to China or something like that. I'm not sure if I can exactly explain why, but I think so they would understand how serious the sin is. Because they were tempted to go back into idolatry. And when they killed the Amalekites, they saw right in front of their face, this is what idolatry will do with you. And I'm sure they never forgot. Well, actually, sometimes they did forget. And they went into idolatry. And God took them out of the land. Okay?
You will see sometimes He chose other people to kill, to punish the Jews. Mm-hmm. So don't think, you know, the punishment was one direction. No. So even when the Jews were sinned, he used other people to mm-hmm. punish them. Yes.
Yeah.
بتقول إنه المسيحية لا تؤمن بالقضاء والقدر. بالسبق التعليم.
How
do you explain who are the chosen ones in the Old Testament and in the New Testament?
كيف تفسر المختارين في العهد القديم والعهد الجديد؟
Is he asking about predestination or is he asking about the chosen people? Which is he asking about?
Both of them are related.
Yeah.
Because predestination is that
Yeah.
And the other one is born to go to heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's choose, who are the chosen ones?
Right.
And I have just a
moment. Yeah.
And I have a moment. And هذا الموضوع طبعا هو حدث.
I would read Romans chapter 8.
Stick to pain today.
He said
you're going out of the subject for pain and pain.
No, this is, in my opinion, this is definitely in the subject, honestly. I'm sorry, but I think it is related. Let's make this the last question, okay? It's getting late. I would read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Yeah.
ونحن نعلم أن كل الأشياء تعمل معا للخير للذين يحبون الله الذين هم مدعوون حسب قصده لأن الذين سبق فعرفهم سبق فعينهم ليكونوا مشابهين صورة ابنه ليكون هو بكرا بين إخوة كثيرين والذين سبق فعينهم فهؤلاء دعاهم أيضا والذين دعاهم فهؤلاء بررهم أيضا والذين بررهم فهؤلاء مجدهم أيضا.
Now, many people misunderstand this verse, I
believe.
God predestined all of us to salvation.
الله اختار جميعنا للخلاص.
Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many rooms.
يسوع قال في بيت أبي أماكن كثيرة. يوحنا 14.
In 1 Timothy it says, God desires all men to be saved.
الله يريد أن الجميع يخلصون وإلى معرفة الحق يقبلون.
There's a place for all of us.
في مكان لجميعنا.
But not all of us accept that.
ولكن ليس كلنا قبلنا الخلاص.
It says here, those he knew beforehand.
الناس الذي عرفهم قبلاً.
Because God knows.
الله يعرف.
God knows who will accept
الله
his
يعرف
offer.
من سيقبل ومن لن يقبل.
Those he knew beforehand would be saved.
الناس اللي عرف انهم راح يخلصوا.
He predestined them.
هو سبق فاختارهم فعينهم.
And he called them.
ودعاهم.
And he saved them.
وخلصهم.
And he glorified them.
ومجدهم.
But you know what? Not everybody is called.
مش الكل دعي.
And of those who are called, not all are saved.
وليس كل الذين دعيوا خلصوا.
And of those who are saved, not all make it to heaven, right?
حتى الناس اللي بفكروا حالهم مخلصين بجوز مش كلهم يروحوا على السماء.
But those God foreknew,
ولكن الله الذين عرفهم,
He called.
نداهم دعاهم.
He justified.
وبررهم.
And He glorified.
ومجدهم.
Now the idea in Christianity of predestination.
فكرة السبق التعليم في المسيحية.
Some people call it Calvinism.
هي ترجع إلى جون كالفن.
There are many Christian groups that believe in predestination.
كثير مسيحيين طوائف معينة بتؤمن بسبق التعليم.
These people God chose to go to heaven.
هدول الأشخاص الله اختارهم أن يروحوا للسماء.
And these people God chose to go to hell.
وهدول الأشخاص اختارهم أن يروحوا على الجحيم.
That is not in the Bible.
هذا ليس كتابي أبدا.
All of us have the opportunity to be saved. But predestination is in the Bible. It's right here in chapter 9 and 10. So God predestined that Israel would escape from Egypt. God predestined that Judas would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. In fact, he prophesied that in Zechariah. So anything that relates to our salvation, God predestined those things. Okay? But again, why Israel?
لماذا إسرائيل؟
Because God had a plan.
لأن الله كان عنده خطة.
But His plan was to find a man of faith.
خطته إنه يجد شخص له إيمان.
And God worked His plan through Abraham.
الله قبل إسرائيل كان في واحد اسمه إبراهيم. بلشت الخطة مش باليهود بإبراهيم.
Read Romans chapter 4.
اقرأ روميا 4.
It explains that in detail.
يفسر هذا بالتفصيل.
So God chose Abraham not because he was perfect,
مش لأنه كامل الله اختار إبراهيم,
but because he lived by faith.
لأنه عاش بالإيمان الحقيقي.
We've never been saved by works.
عمرنا ما بنخلص بالأعمال.
God has always been a God of love and mercy.
طول عمره هو إله الحب والرحمة.
Also a God of holiness and justice.
أيضا إله القداسة والعدل.
God predestined all of us for salvation.
الله سبق فاختار كلنا لنخلص.
So that's how I understand it.
هيك بفهم.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I wanted to tell what they
suffer.
Some natural causes. That will make a balance. So why don't you make balance in earth without people dying? In the Dead Sea. Mm-hmm. They were going on a trip. Some died and some didn't.
Yeah. Well, here's the truth. Everyone in this room is going to die. Death is not evil. Death does not violate God's plan. Now, one reason that happened is because of foolishness. It is foolish if you know that the storm is coming to go drive down that one road. But I believe the children on that bus go straight to heaven. Now to us it's a tragedy. And Jesus understands that. Jesus has compassion about that. But none of us get out of this world alive. Every single one of us will die. God's job is not to prevent death. God is trying to prevent hell. As Christians, we show compassion to those who are sick. We show compassion to the dying. Christianity invented the idea of a hospital. So we try to prevent suffering, not because suffering is bad, but because of compassion. But death is not the problem. As Christians, we understand sin is the problem. Death is not the problem. Death is not a bad thing. Sin is a bad thing. Rebellion is a bad thing. Going to hell is a bad thing. Our job as Christians is not to prevent death, but to prevent separation from God. That is our ministry. But we also show compassion. Because Jesus showed compassion. We try to prevent suffering because that's what love does. But even as we try to prevent suffering, we understand that everyone will die. And everyone will come before God. Except those children who died. I believe they'll be in heaven. Okay? Good. All right.
Stand up and pray.